be seated. Anybody else feeling that? Yeah, not just me. Yeah, the power of the Spirit and the Spirit within us. You can think of it together as when we gather, you can think of it as the Spirit being added together, the sum of the spirits. But I think it's more of a multiplication. When we gather together to worship, you know, the Spirit moving through the music, the Spirit moving through this place, the Spirit moving through the Word here shortly as well. You know, when Jesus left, he said, "I leave my Spirit with you." And that Spirit has a number of functions that we're going to learn about today. Well, let's start out with our readings.
Today's first reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. The second reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also live. Here ends the readings.
All right, thank you, Kelly. Yeah. God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, love it. Lord, we just welcome your Spirit here. Let it lead us, let it guide us, let it direct us throughout our lives. And may we just feel your presence in a very real way through your word here today. Amen. All right. So, yeah, those opening songs, you know, thine own your Spirit to lead and to guide. He leads us and he guides us. And he does so many other things, or to cheer and to guide. That's what it said there. Oh, yeah, children's church. If kids want to leave, sorry about that, Jill. You bet. They can go learn that age-appropriate type stuff there. So, wonderful. Thanks for helping out, Maya. I appreciate it. All right. So, as we've been going through our eyewitness series, we went through the books of Peter and out the letters of John. These guys walked with Jesus. You know, they experienced it on a daily basis. Everything there is. So, we're getting firsthand accounts, right? Not second, third-hand information, but first-hand accounts here of what happened. Alrighty. So today then, we had heard that, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. So as believers, his Spirit lives within us. It's going to guide us. It's going to direct us. It's going to do a number of things. And that Spirit then was given to us. It's a gift from God. We read in Ephesians 1 that when we believe, we are given of the Spirit. So it's not something we earn. Just like, you know, with God. It's all from him. We can't earn salvation. We can't do all this. It's a gift. So this gift of the Spirit. And again, we had said that Jesus, when he left, he said, I do not leave you alone. The Comforter will come. The Paraclete. The Holy Spirit. Who is going to serve a number of functions here. We live in relationship with God. And it's cool to know that he's within us. So no matter where we go, of course, he is there around us. But better yet, even within us. And the Spirit then, one thing is, the Paraclete means the Comforter, that's part of it, okay? It comforts us, God comforts us. When we've got tough times coming on, when just things get ugly, and they do in life, they do sometimes, but he's always there with us, he's always there for us, and if you're a believer, he's always there within us, which is a wonderful thing to remember. When you can feel that presence, when you have strength, when you have peace in the middle of the storm, things are raging around you, but you can move forward in peace. And you're drawing on a strength that is not from you. We can go so far in our own strength, okay? We're limited. But God has endless storehouses of strength that he can give to us to get us through things that normally would crush us, that would make us give up hope. But as believers, we can navigate these thanks to God and what he's done. The Spirit guides us. We're not sure what to do. We ask God, hey, I'm in this situation. I don't know what's best, but I'm coming to you for your guidance, Lord. And that Spirit within us can guide us onto right paths. At least other paths would be tempting, of course. There's other paths out there. We go, our human nature, of course, wants to follow those. But listening to the Spirit, he's going to lead you on right paths is what he's going to do for his glory. The Spirit also convicts us. Yeah, when we make a poor decision, and you just know that, shouldn't have done that. Well, it's the Spirit within you. It's telling you, hey, you screwed up. But the good news is, God's always willing to take us back, no matter what. So convicting us, and we need that, or else we start thinking we're too good for ourselves, right? Every once in a while, we need to be reminded. And the Spirit within us can certainly do that and can convict in a gentle way, okay? Not in a way that's going to destroy us. Our enemy will try to convict us in a different way. Will try to crush us. We'll use his three favorite tools, fear, guilt, and shame. But when God convicts us, it's a gentle reminder that, hey, what you did is wrong, but you know what's right. Do that next time. And then try to make good on it, right? If you know that you screwed up, if you know you did wrong to someone, set an example by apologizing. Say, hey, I'm sorry. I did you wrong. I know better than that. That's not really who I am. I don't know what got a hold of me there, but set that example. I know I've done that with foster kids. I remember one time we were going to school, a bunch of them in the van, and we were running late. And that's one thing with me that, everybody's got their thing. For me, it's running late, all right? I like to be early to everything. And, maybe it's the military background. If you're late to formation, bad things happen, et cetera. And they weren't getting ready on time. I knew I was going to be late to work, and I was starting to get a little elevated, shall we say. And they were going, okay, And I got about a half mile from the house. I pulled over to the side of the road. I turned around and said, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. I admitted it to the kids, okay? But, that's a good thing. Set that example for others. That's one thing we do as Christians, right? We live a life that is hopefully an example that points to God for his glory. So, he convicts us. He directs us. And that's like, along with guiding us, he directs us. You'll feel this nudge from the Spirit sometimes to go do something or talk to someone. And, hey, don't ignore that. You see a person out there, you can tell, they're troubled or something like that. If God's nudging you to come alongside them, do so. Do so. You're going to have a wonderful chance to build someone else up and to share the truth of the gospel with them too, perhaps. Maybe they're already a believer, so you can lift them up even higher. If not, you have a chance to really pull some up and to give them hope. To give them hope. We have a God who gives hope. All righty. The Spirit will open Scripture for us. This Scripture was written by humans who were inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, right? He's the author. If you're reading a novel and you're sort of puzzled about some part, you know, if you could find the author and call him or her up and say, hey, could you explain this to me? Do you think they'd have a good insight on it? Because they wrote it, right? Okay. And the same deal here, the Holy Spirit wrote this. So when we read it, if the Spirit's within you, this thing's going to come alive in ways that other books won't. I'm reading a good novel series right now, Hard to Put Down. You know, I was doing sermon prep last night, but I, you know, wanted to read the novel too, and I did both. Okay, it all worked out. But sometimes you just get that really novel that grabs you and stuff like that. It's great. But it doesn't come alive in the way that this does. This is called the living word, and it's that way for a reason, okay? The Spirit, the same one that wrote it, will help you interpret it. Will help you figure it out, because at times it is puzzling. There's parts in here you go, what do you mean, God? Well, pray about it, listen to the Spirit, and sometimes you get that interpretation. Other times, talking to other believers, coming together to study the Word, you'll get to see it in a different way. But that's the Spirit through them, right? The Spirit in all of us can bring us together. Spirit shows us right from wrong, okay? You know what's right, you know what's wrong, you've got this conscience type thing within you, and that might be the Holy Spirit at work within you, just knowing right from wrong. The Spirit lives in other believers as well, okay? It's not all for you, you know, you don't have the entire monopoly on this. All believers have the Spirit. When you're believed, you are given of the Holy Spirit, again from Ephesians 1. So like I observed earlier, when we gathered together and we had the music going here, we had people singing, we had the guitar and the drums going, everything like that, yeah, that Spirit moves through the music, and we could feel it lifting us up this morning. It's great. And just being present with others. Got here a little bit early this morning, and people sharing coffee and sharing conversation and just being there with each other and being there for each other. God's Spirit recognizes the Spirit in others. And again, it multiplies what it does. It just bubbles over. And you can sense the Spirit in other people many times. If someone's a believer, sometimes you just know. I remember meeting this guy up at Grant County one time. I was up there with some foster kids and met this guy, and it just got this message that he is good. Okay? And the more I talked to this guy, the more I knew that he was just plain good. You meet people like that. It's wonderful, isn't it? Or you just know that they're good. And it was the Holy Spirit confirming the Spirit. I mean, the Spirit knows the Spirit. Other times, maybe you've been around others, unfortunately, where they are not good. They've got other spirits living in them or controlling them. And that's where you proceed with caution, okay? God is with you. He is for you. You're not going to be in any danger, you know, spiritually, if you're strong in your faith. But, yeah, you got to watch for that, because there are other spirits out there. Many times they'll disguise themselves as good when, in fact, they're evil. It's real, and it happens, and some people give in and are controlled by them. Alrighty. So that's how we know that we live in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. He dwells within us. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Okay, John's reiterating what he said in the Gospel here, right? God so loved the world. John 3:16. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. So acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. Alrighty. If we go back to Romans 10, 9 through 10, we're going to find something very similar. Paul writing now, instead of John, of course. But Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Yeah, acknowledging Jesus is God, right? That's what it tells us here. And that's going to be another sign of a believer. They're going to acknowledge that. They're going to know it, because the Spirit living within them is going to confirm things. It's beautiful. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God.
And right there you know that your future is secure. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love God has for us. God is love. Well, there's a whole nother sermon right there, okay? God is love. But we hit that last week, the different types of love and how God is love. And God's love lives in us and works through us to benefit others, to lift them up. Whoever lives in love lives in God. Yes, it's this intertwining relationship where you're connected to God, and ideally it's sort of a deal where you can't even tell where you end and God begins, where the two that just melded together, molded together, formed together, because you've given him control of your life. You've submitted to him. God in us, us in him. The Gospel of John makes several references to that as well. All right. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Confidence on the day of judgment. I like that. Christians should live in confidence. If you've given your life to Christ, if he lives in you, it shouldn't be this timid, meek little Christianity. No. We stand firm. We go forth boldly knowing that. We have confidence. Not that, I hope I'm saved. No, you don't live in that. It tells us right here. We read it today, right? If you acknowledge Jesus as Lord, your future is secure. If you've given your life to him, he's God. Lord, I'm human. I screw up. I'm going to give my life over to you. I seek to follow you. Lord, take control. I am yours and you are mine. You know, just confess and then repent. Turn from your old ways and follow him to the best of your ability. Okay, we're still going to screw up. It happens. There's going to be setbacks. It happens. But once we've turned from the intentional sins that we learned, heard about in Galatians 5 today, and turned to completely follow God, yeah, he dwells within us. Our future is secure. Ephesians 1, once again, it told us that we are given of the Spirit at when we believe. But if we go on there too, having believed, you are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, yes, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Guaranteeing. If God is guaranteeing something, it's going to happen. So it's a deposit. You put a deposit down on a car or a truck or a house or something like that. It becomes part of the payment. And at that point, we got it, right? So the Holy Spirit, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So yeah, once you give your life over to Jesus, eternal life starts right there here on earth. It starts right here. And then it just does a smooth transition into eternity as we leave this body and gain our resurrection body and live with him forever. Amen. It's a great thing to look forward to, but it's already started if you've given your life over to Jesus. It's already started. You're already living in that. That's a guarantee, it said, from God. That's great. So yeah, we can then live boldly as Christians, live with power as Christians, knowing that our future is secure, knowing that we have been saved. Again, it's not this, oh, I hope I'm good enough. No, you're not good enough. None of us were good enough. We can't earn it. It's what God has done. We simply accept it. We accept the free gift of salvation, what he has done for us. So yeah, we can't be good enough, but we can accept he who is good enough, who is more than good enough. And then, in the words of Wren Collective, boldly I approach the throne. Ah, love their songs. And boldly I approach the throne. Boldly. Wow, because there's one walking with you. As you're coming to the throne of judgment, there's someone who's got his arm around you. He's walking up there with you and say, hey, this guy's with me. And if Jesus is doing that, he's got his arm around you. May you feel that arm around you, his arm around you. And hearing his words, hey, Daddy, hey, Father, this guy's with me. He's good. I got him covered. We are given entrance thanks to what Jesus has done. Again, we can't earn it. We're not good enough, but he is. All praise to him. So that's great to visualize. It's great to look forward to that we can with confidence, even though we don't feel worthy, and we're not on our own. We're not. But he is. And thank him, because we can't come before God on our own. None of us. None of us is good enough, but Jesus is. And that's what Christianity is all about. So Jesus has given us of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity. you want to rank it. There's no real rank in order. We always say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but you know, they're all three one. They're all co-equal. Okay. So we say it that way. Is that alphabetical? No. Why do we come up with that? No, I don't know. But we could say Holy Spirit, Son, and Father, or any order. It doesn't matter because they're all three one. They're all three equal. It's not that one outranks the other, okay? They are all God. Okay, so if the Spirit, that is God, and all three are living within you, then if you want to think of it that way, but the Holy Spirit lives within us, there's going to be symptoms, there's going to be signs, and that's what we heard about in Galatians today. It said Galatians 16, so I say live by the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, other translations. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Okay, the desires are still there, right? The desires are popping up. Say, hey, come over, try this, right? But you will not gratify them anymore. You're not that person anymore. When you give your life to Christ, you are a new creation in Him. You are not that same person. I am not the same. I'm a new creation. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Okay. So, as a result, these things are still there, but you are now immune to them. They don't have that same effect on you anymore. You've built, it's sort of like getting immunity or something where, yeah, can't touch me, okay? They're there, maybe they're calling to you and things like that, but we've become immune. When that Spirit is in us, giving us that strength, giving us that guidance, giving us that comfort, these old things have lost their attraction. Indeed, it's sort of like we've been re-magnetized, I said one time. Where what used to attract us, if we've been remagnetized, our poles are flipped, and now repels us. We see sin for what it is, how repulsive it actually is. We get to see it through God's eyes. Because our spiritual priorities and our physical priorities and all our priorities have been realigned. When we are remagnetized the other way, we are aligned with God now. And the things that used to attract us, we now find repulsive. Love that. These things, the long list that Kelly read this morning, right? The sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Okay, are these things that accidentally happen to you? Nah, they're an intentional departure from God. They're an intentional opposition to God. You don't accidentally do these things, right? We still have the little accidental sins that we do, but the old ones that used to control our lives are gone. Again, we're not that person anymore. They've been replaced. They've been replaced with the fruit of the Spirit that we heard about. The good things, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I like being around people like that. I like feeling that within me when I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what is going to be produced in our lives, right? Trees produce fruit. These things will be produced in our lives when we are fed by the Spirit. It's the Spirit within us running through our veins. It's who we are. It's what we are now because our identity is in Christ. And these things will be manifest. These things will be the signs that someone is a believer. When you see someone exhibiting those, it's a good chance they're a believer, right? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature. No longer there, right? It's crucified with its passions and desires. We have new life, born again, a new identity. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Yeah, I like that example of keeping in step. In the military, of course, we had to march in time. We had to keep in step with each other. You get out of step, you get all screwed up, right? But if we are in step with the Spirit, walking side by side and in step. Well, he's within us, you know, I think of it that way too. But if we're in step with him, we're in sync with him, we're living in a way that he's controlling us, or we're aligned with him, I guess. We're still making decisions, heavily influenced by him, but we're in step with him. We're moving forward at the same rate, not outrunning him, not lagging behind, not veering off to the side, okay? And that's always a temptation too, to, you know, if you're off to the side, leave that path. But no, to walk with God, in step with the Spirit. What a beautiful example to be doing that. And it's always perhaps more pleasant on a journey to share with someone, right? You can travel alone, and there's great things in solitude. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful. I love solitude. But sharing life with someone, sharing life with the Spirit, in step with God, Yeah, great example. Alrighty. So, yeah, these things will result when the Spirit is within us. And then as we had heard in the gospel this morning as well, if you love me, you obey what I command. Okay, we're going to live in his way. I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Again, forever. This life is just the start of what's going to go on and a giving to us. Again, it's all being reinforced here. We heard in Ephesians, it's a gift. It's given to us. A counselor, one who's going to be there, going to guide us. A counselor guides a person. Forever, the Spirit of truth. Absolutely. God is truth. We've hit that many times where there's absolute truth. That's God and his word, absolute truth. There's the relative truth, what people decide they want to call right and wrong. No, not absolute truth. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, once again in you. The world cannot accept him, right? Okay, we got our Christian ways, and you look at the world out there right now. A lot of it's being rejected. This wonderful opportunity that we have for peace, for joy, for hope, for love, all these things, people are rejecting it, trying to follow other ways. Why? Well, I guess they don't know the truth. And that's part of our job as representatives of Christ, to share the truth with others. You know, a lot of them are going to maybe learn the hard way. They're going to go out and try these things, find out it didn't work. Maybe they'll come back and find the real truth. Some won't, unfortunately. And that has bad implications for eternity, of course. But we know the truth. That truth has set us free, and we get to share the truth with others. We get to live it out. We should be exhibiting those fruits of the Spirit, because the Spirit lives within us. 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. All right. I'll not leave you as orphans. That's a good thing. I've never been an orphan, nor do I want to be. I was raised in a good family. But life would be tough. And I really feel for those kids that are out there. You see it sometimes in third world countries and stuff where they are totally on their own, where there's no system to help them. Even in the U.S., if someone, you know, is an orphan, they can be put with a foster family or something, but there's still going to be a gaping hole. There's still going to be a longing. There's still going to be wounds that can maybe heal, but will definitely leave scars even if they do heal. He's not going to leave you as orphans. He's not going to leave us alone. And what follows up there says a lot too. He's not going to leave us alone because we can call on him. No, I will not leave you as orphans because I will come to you. Wow. Because he will come to us. Not that we have to go seek him out. He will come to us. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. Yeah, Jesus was about to leave here. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Because his Spirit lives within us. We're going to have life. Not just physical life, but spiritual life. We're going to have security. We're going to have a guarantee for our future. It's all there because of what Jesus has done. Because of the gift of the Spirit that he has given us freely when we believe. Who's going to turn that down? I don't know why anybody would want to. Some people don't think it's real. They think this is all fiction. It is real. We know it. His Spirit lives within us. He guides us. He directs us. He comforts us. He convicts us when needed. God has left this wonderful gift, himself, the Spirit, within us. To lead and to guide, to cheer us on, to help us determine right from wrong. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit. Lord, thank you that you left your Spirit within us, that as believers, those of us who believe, and if you don't believe yet, Lord, or folks out there, I invite you to believe, to give yourself over to Christ. The same Spirit will fill you. The same power lives in us, as we were singing earlier. It's going to make it possible to navigate this life, to have comfort, to have peace, to have patience, to have joy, to be able to forgive others and even forgive yourself, because our God is that good. All glory to him. Amen.